This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Sometimes the world looks perfect, nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. No matter what the odds are, this time nothing's gonna stand in my way. This flame in my heart, like a long lost friend, gives every dark street a light at the end.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another episode of the Place to Be Nation Rewatch Party. I'm your host, Steve Willey, and we're going to take a little bit of a detour today. As you may have known, we've been watching the 1993 Raws with occasional looks at Nitro and Saturday Night Live. Yes, we've been watching episodes with Eric Idle. Or we've been doing Saturday Night's Main Event as well. But today we're going to take a detour, being the Thanksgiving season. What better way to watch Thanksgiving wrestling than to look back at Survivor Series? And we're going to take a little chance and do a couple of old episodes of Survivor Series. With me tonight, I have the man whose idea this was to go on a little brief detour from North Carolina, our man, Jason Greenhouse. Jason, how's it going?
Doing good, Steve. You know, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I decided to take my pants off, put a pilgrim hat on, and I'm about to dive into a big bowl of mashed potatoes and gravy.
Wow, that is actually pretty much what happens on SmackDown on a yearly basis, I believe.
Yep, living the gimmick tonight.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, Tori Wilson. And next, from Hotlanta, Georgia, my favorite wrestling reviewer of all time, as I've said in previous podcasts, my guy, Chad Campbell. How's it going, Chad?
Doing good, Steve. I got a naked Richard Hatch on my screen pause, so I'm ready for the Survivor rewatch.
It is the Survivor rewatch. We're going to go through all 31 seasons in probably 2 hours. And it's the other Survivor buddies with us too, from Michigan, whose Lions really ruined a birthday party of my niece's last night. Jordan Duncan. Jordan, how's it going?
It's about time the Lions ruined other fan bases' days, you know?
Well, yeah, the Bears fans in attendance at the party were very happy living in the Schadenfreude. My wife, not so happy. I see a scowl on her face right now as I'm talking about this.
Ooh. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Apologize.
But Aaron Rodgers is, you know, he's very much pro-diversity, and he has taken a stand against, well, the racists of Green Bay, of which there are many.
Good for him.
Yeah. Good and speaking him. Of racists in Green Bay, this is not one of them. Our dear, dear friend, host of the, I can't even say what you're the host of, can I? But you're the man behind Wednesday Walk Around the Web. For sure. Are you the host of the Super Extreme Vault?
I am one of the hosts of the Super Extreme Vault. I think you could say that.
All right. Just recently watching some Japanese death matches, and now we're going to watch some just family-friendly fare. Mr. Glenn Butler. Glennie, how's it going?
You know, I'm disappointed that we got the big pool of mashed potatoes and gravy, because I have spent all day making batch after batch of pudding. And if I can't put it in my kiddie pool, where's it going to go?
Well, we know that a pie is going to end up in someone's face by the end of this podcast.
Oh, could be many pies in many people's faces. Anything could happen here in the WWF.
It could. So this evening, as Greenhouse has helped us out with this great brainstorm idea, we are going to take a look at two matches. The first match is going to be the 10 person tag team match from Survivor Series 1988, kind of one of the more famous matches in the original Survivor Series cards. And we will leave a little bit of a surprise for what we're going to watch for the second one, because, you know, that's a tease and we want you to stick around for the whole time. So right now we are at the 22 minute mark on the WWE Network, Survivor Series 1988. We have, you know, Will's favorite tag team of all time, Demolition, up on the screen. Barry Darso's red, long tongue sticking out at me, frightening me. And we are going to get started. So if you're playing along at home, with the Ray Combs version this week, not the Richard Dawson version, we will count you down in 3, two, one. We will turn down the volume so everyone does not hear it.
Now, would it be fair to say that most, if not all, of the people taking part in this match are going to be tag team specialists?
Do we really want to call the Bolsheviks tag team specialists?
Yeah, I think that's why we have to go most rather than all.
Fair enough.
Powers of Pain. This is what year did they start making team captains? Was it 90? 89?
89, I think they had the captains and the co-captains. Oh, no, I'm sorry. They had it here, too, because... Yeah, it was Warrior and Beefcake were captain and co-captains in the opening match.
Oh, okay.
I think the face team has the advantage in terms of managers. Matilda versus Jimmy Hart.
Matilda versus the managers is always great. Whenever Matilda felt up to actually running after someone, which, to be fair, wasn't always.
Only when Dynamite Kid had her, you know, filled with steroids.
Filled with steroids and pills and marijuana.
Yeah. There's going to be a lot of managers at ringside this evening.
Mm-hmm.
The Bolsheviks manager was a flag. They couldn't even get an actual human to represent them.
Now, who were the Bolsheviks here? Is it Jose Luis Rivera and...
No, it was Nikolai Volkov and Boris Zhukov, actually.
Oh, did I see the Conquistadors or the Bolsheviks? Oh, man. I can't even blame it on the pneumonia anymore.
Right. Oh, we are going to have a good one tonight.
Yeah?
That's right.
It was Jose Estrada and Rivera. Jose Luis Rivera.
And who played the Rougeaus here?
No, yeah, which Rougeaus do we have?
Raymond and Jacques.
And Jacques.
So we have on one side the Conquistadors, the Bolsheviks, which are the same team, the Rougeaus, and the Brainbusters.
Vince had to hate that there's a big empty section right as the teams walk out.
Yeah, that is pretty much about 20 chairs. Just
Yeah.
They didn't have tarps back in 88.
No, they just got invented in 90.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a guilt. What's that, Chad?
Powers of Pain is faces at the start of this always struck me as odd.
Mm-hmm.
Young Stallions were a guilty pleasure of mine as a,
yes.
as a young man. Get the Rockers, the Heart Foundation, the Bulldogs.
Now, there are some tag team specialists.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there is a mustache on Dynamite right now.
Yeah, he's got a handlebar.
And Davey's got quite a little mullet brewing there, mm-hmm. too.
Now, by the end of 88, this has got to be getting close to the end of the Bulldogs' run, right?
This yeah. was actually their last match. They had already signed on to do some dates in Japan. I think everything took a downward spiral after the incident with the Rougeaus.
Mm-hmm.
This is post Jock and Dynamite Kid fight, so we'll mm-hmm. see their interaction here.
Well,
yeah, this is kind of a mixture of old and new. You got the Rockers.
Go ahead, Chad.
Okay, you got the Rockers coming in. Pretty new. You got the Bulldogs on the way out, Stallions on the decline. Hearts are still kind of the steady Eddie, and then Powers of Pain are relatively new, too.
There are also a lot of steroids on the face side.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of version that ring.
Yeah. You don't see it as much on the heel side. So we're starting off with one of the Conquistadors and Navy Boy. Davey Boy at the press into the Rougeaus.
it's almost hard to do anything off the ropes because you got everybody surrounding the outside of the ring with it. So you have to kind of do stuff either in your corner or like in the middle of the ring. It's really hard.
And meanwhile, Shawn Michaels manages to find a corner to jump up on.
Yeah. The Rockers were pretty fresh in into the company at this point.
Yeah, the first stuff I've watched from them is about around July. They had some good matches with the Conquistadors. This is after a good match to see out is them versus Demolition from an October MSG house show. That's a really solid match. A bunch of early Rockers.
We're going to have to think of some things to grade this show on here. We usually have our mullets. We have our 90s fan. I haven't done one of these 80s ones yet.
Yeah, that might be a little tough, especially with not as much of the crowd visible because almost the entire ring is surrounded by wrestlers for a substantial part of the match.
It's a preview of a pretty good feud in 89 between the Brainbusters and the Rockers with Foley and Marty in the ring.
Yep.
All right, guys. Sorry about that. I was gone. I had to go put on my Conquistadors gear real quick. Every time I watch one of their matches.
Looks good.
Are you Volkov or Borzukov?
So now here's something that I've always wondered. But when the Rockers came in originally in 87 and they got fired after a TV taping, they got into a fight with Jesse Barr, I think it was. Does that sound right, Chad?
Yeah.
When they got fired is about the time when they formed the Young Stallions. I'm wondering if they formed the Young Stallions to actually to make up for the Rockers leaving and keep like a heartthrob babyface team around.
Yeah, it's kind of I think there's a couple things with that. So you have the Rockers that were in and out, but also you got to remember the Can-Am connection. That's right around the time too when
yes, that's true.
When Zink dumped out and they went with Tito, which I mean the Can-Ams were your stereotypical good-looking guy babyface tag team. Tito not quite fit that bill, even though Strikeforce were really, you know, a great tag team in their own right, but it could have been a response to that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they, I don't know, the Young Stallions in some ways feel like probably the end of the line for that, because even the Rockers, when they come in, they don't feel quite as, I guess, white meat baby face as the Young
right.
Stallions, early Can-Ams, kind of the lineage. We got Jock and Brett in there now, two guys that know each other pretty well.
Yeah, there's some good Hart Foundation Rougeau matches from I want to say late 86 into 87 when the Rougeaus first came in.
Oh, now, see, I haven't watched this match in a while, so when one team member is pinned, both team members are out. That's
right.
That's what happens. Okay. So Brett does a small package on Ray Moore.
That was a very impressive vertical leap by Paul Roma.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, he jumped on. He was on the mat, jumped on the top rope from a standing position, then did a crossbody
Yeah, that was a remarkably exciting sequence, considering it was Paul Roma and 1988 Nikolai Volkov.
Meanwhile, Nikolai tries to headbutt Anvil into the turnbuckle and missed it by about 4 inches.
Him and Anvil are having a decidedly less impressive sequence right there.
Anvil with the worst clothesline I've ever seen.
Yeah, yep.
Nikolai Volkov may be one of the worst wrestlers.
Terrible.
The first prime time that's on the network from April 86, oh my god, he has mentioned that, and it is just dreadful.
It was him versus George Steele, right?
This is the one, him versus Kirshner.
Okay. Because I remember there's an episode prime time where they show matches from the Summit, which is probably soon after that one, where it's Volkov and George Steele, and they completely stink up the joint.
One of the saddest things I remember seeing is on YouTube not that long ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, was Nikolai in a recent match, and they didn't even have a ring. Like the show.
Yes.
Was it against the Sheik? It was against another old guy like him.
Oh, who was it? I know what you're talking about.
But the show didn't even have a ring. They just had like a amateur wrestling mat. It was so bad.
That's sad. That's like that video.
It really was.
That's like that video of Greg Valentine at someone's backyard wrestling show.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, go on, make your money, but it's a little sad.
Mm-hmm.
Saw him just last year wrestling.
Greg Valentine. Wow.
Hot tag, drop the elbow, slap on the figure four, brother. That's his match.
Shoot on the win.
Valentine's so crazy to think about because, like, we just reviewed Beach Blast 92 for Where the Big Boys Play, and he looked so old in that. And that was 23 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and yet he doesn't look any different now.
Yeah, he looked he looks about the same facially, but just, I don't know. It's like somebody that's stuck in a perpetual moment in time, and just time keeps going, and he just stays the same.
Mm-hmm.
That must be especially horrible for someone like Greg Valentine, because if he's just perpetually stuck in the same moment in time, does he ever truly get warmed up?
No.
Glenn hitting us with the tough questions right off the bat tonight.
You know, we're going after the existential problems here. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, an existential problem for Shawn Michaels is demolition.
Yeah.
Right in between the Bolsheviks and the conquistadors, I'll teach him a lesson.
This is really a sight to see with all these people around the ring. I've seen this match a couple times before, but it's been a while.
It's always kind of a spectacle. I enjoy the element that if anyone manages to like fall down in the vague direction of their corner, they're probably close enough to reach out for a tag from someone.
There's no cutting off the ring here.
Right. Nope. You know, even like Shawn Michaels just now was bouncing off the ropes from an Irish whip. Couldn't go very far because there were guys holding onto the rope.
Big spine buster from
beautiful Arn. Spine buster.
Oh, yeah.
No one's really ever been able to do it as well as him.
No. Hunter came close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say The Rock didn't come close at all.
In one of the oh my,
and neither did that conquistador.
Wow! Right there.
Oh my lord! Yeah, this. I mean,
1996, Shawn Michaels would have gone ballistic right there.
Right.
Yep.
So, in one of the oddest marketing moves of Black Friday this year, 2015, Target ad is selling the Four Horsemen set for $29.99. And so in the little kid's toy section of the Target ad is an action figure of Arn Anderson. That's their selling point.
I'm
sold.
Every time I roll my son down the toy aisle, I keep eyeing that for back.
That sold for me $30 because it's been 50 for a while, and I can't justify it. And that's even as a guy with kids who play with the figures, but I know they'll never touch any, maybe the Flair.
That's a stocking stuffer for a very particular sort of kid, right?
Yeah.
Yes. It's Arn, Tully, Barry, and Flair, right? Is that the set?
Yes. Yeah.
It's just such an odd sight to see, like, Minecraft.
Yeah.
You know, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Arn Anderson.
Well, if it was just Ninja Turtles and Arn Anderson, it could have been like 1989 Toys R Us wire.
Yes. Yeah, right? Nikolai with a spinning knee?
Yeah, that's, I guess that's as high as he can.
Nikolai sucks.
It's funny because you can tell he's really trying to work hard tonight. Like, you can tell he's really like, all right, all the guys are out here. I better turn it up a notch. And he's just flailing around, basically. Nice. Doing
Hey, like when they have the brain busters in there, it's like everything looks like vicious and good and on point.
Right. Yeah, the rockers and the
one around.
The Rock and the Busters and even Paul Roma have been really solid so far. I don't think we've seen Dynamite yet, have we?
No. And this was when he was really hurting, so that probably
hide him on the apron as much as they could.
Do the conquistadors legitimately not speak English? Is that the issue here?
See.
I would say for a match that has a pretty high reputation, there is definitely some kind of ugly spot.
Why, you know what? That brings up a good question. Why do you think this one seems to be remembered more than the 87 tag match? Because it seems like this is the one people think of, like, oh, you remember the big Survivor Series tag, you know, but in 87 they had just as many guys, didn't they? Was it?
Yeah, it was the same thing.
Just the star power in this one?
Well, the double turn, and then also, like this one has the rockers.
Yeah, the brain busters too.
Star power.
In 87 you had Strike Force, and who else was in?
The Islanders, I know where they're
The Islanders, yep.
Okay.
And the Rougeaus were
they still there?
The Rougeaus were still baby faces.
The Bees survived, didn't they?
Yeah,
I haven't watched any of these. Of all the big four, Survivor Series is always the, I guess, least nostalgic that I...
Sure.
I mean, I don't know. I never... Even the videotape stores that I would go to didn't seem to have 87 or 88. I didn't watch them that much as a kid.
87 was the first show I saw pretty much live in terms of pay-per-views. I think I saw it like the day after.
Yeah, that's the benefit of having a dad that likes wrestling when you're growing up is I saw all these live.
Yep.
Yeah, I think at this point, I mean, I was really, really young and I didn't get into wrestling as a kid, but because my brother was into it for a while, my mom would tape a lot of these shows through the Descrambler. And so there was this drawer in my house that forever just had this bank of late 80s, early 90s WWF shows that I didn't watch until like the mid 2000s.
And 20 years from now, someone's going to find those and think it's like your secret porn collection.
Dynamite just took a bump to the floor, right on his back. That was probably ill-advised. Who's bleeding? I noticed when...
I think it was... Anvil had like a welt
like
or
big
something on his side.
Some cranberry
oil or something.
You know what? It could be paint from either Demolition or the Towers of Pain.
Yeah, that's true.
No, man. Brett bladed and then convinced Vince he didn't.
All these guys... In this match, we got Jimmy Powers and Boris Zukov in the ring.
Every single house show from 89's opening match right there.
Yeah, yep. Right?
I love that the Bolsheviks, when they broke up, they did a blow-off on superstars between Boris and Nikolai. what a marquee match that was.
I'd like to get Boris and...
First elimination.
Boris with the pin.
I want to see Boris and Matt Bloom stand next to one another and see who has a bigger cranium.
Alternatively, give them to stand next to each other and tell Matt Bloom, you know, this is you in 35 years.
The Stallion's got to be very disappointed getting so far last year and being the first eliminated from their team this year.
Kind of shows for sure the pecking order that they're pretty much done.
I did see the Young Stallions. I saw the Young Stallions versus Conquistadors in 89, I believe, on a house show.
I think it kind of would be awesome if the Conquistadors like never left and like they were still a team to this day. It's just always different guys under the mask, you know, like they've been around for 30 years.
The legacy team, right? That's great.
Yeah.
What a power matchup this is, Barbarian versus Nikolai.
So much of the Powers of Pain versus the Bolsheviks in this match. This is not the part of the match you remember.
I mean, has Nikolai been in the ring more than anyone else?
He has to be, I think.
Workhorse.
He's the workhorse of this team.
You got Arn Anderson.
The only one that's not high on cocaine right now.
Arn Anderson is right there for you.
I was going to say he's the workhorse of a team that has Tully Blanchard on it.
Where do you guys fall on the demolition scale? Are you more Justin or more Will?
I'm kind of lukewarm. Like, I thought they were cool as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of the painted face, you know, the painted faces and, like, you know, the badasses. But I was always more of a Road Warrior guy. And I kind of like the Powers of Pain better, to be honest.
Yeah, I really like the Powers of Pain, too.
I love Barbarian.
Yeah, I mean, I figure they're fine, but there aren't a ton of great matches you can point to. Like,
right.
Like, you know, the Brainbusters and the Rockers and the Bulldogs, even the Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the one thing with Demolition is if you grew up as a kid in this era, which I did, Justin, you know, pretty much a lot of people on the call did, they were so like iconic. But then if you kind of sit back and look at it and analyze it, I mean, the Road Warriors were so transcendent, and Demolition, while they were certainly a push tag team by WWF standards, it's not like they were asked to really be, in a lot of ways, kind of a cornerstone of the promotion.
Right.
I
was always a Demolition fan, but there was always a team that I liked more than them.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That about sums it up best. Is it, you know, I always liked them, but they were never my favorite.
Right.
And the Bolsheviks were gone while we
were. Wow, Marty with a huge backdrop. That was awesome.
Marty with the sunset flip on Boris to get the elimination. Mm-hmm. And somehow the Conquistadors are still in there.
Yeah, that was an insane bump by Marty on the backdrop.
Mm-hmm. It was real high. And Marty probably was too.
These guys for Thanksgiving, Marty and Tully, probably just like squirting lines of coke, stuffing the turkey with cocaine,
mixed in with the cream of a mushroom and the green bean casserole,
cream of peyote.
I'm gonna work green bean casserole into every single podcast I do.
Steve Green Bean Casserole Willie.
Is that going to be from here on out or just during the season?
From here on out. drop a little green bean casserole during Valentine's Day.
Well, that's how you really say I love you.
Well, that is how I wooed my wives, you know. Wives, plural.
Wives.
Whoa.
Hopefully Sarah's not listening anymore.
No, she's gone.
Nope, she's packing her bags.
Davey Boy just get dropped on his head on that corner.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah, that was ugly.
The Tully slap Dynamite too on the apron. What a jerk.
Man, if Arn and Tully had come in like 2 years earlier, them and the Bulldogs would have had some incredible matches.
Yeah. Oh, man, totally.
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, Tully, I guess, once he has his falling out in 89 and him being pretty much done, it feels like he still had some stuff left in the tank.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's kind of odd how really a year from now is it for him professionally. So,
Gorilla just said we're getting down to the nitty-gritty. There's still 14 guys in the match.
I nominate the Conquistadors for the nitty and the Powers of Pain for the gritty.
That should be one of our awards tonight, the nittiest.
Nikolai Volkov, come on down.
Wait, Nitty is in this match?
Roaming around ringside blind.
Jim Neidhart just came in for 15 seconds.
That's about all he could handle.
Yeah.
I feel like this was an era where, like, Neidhart wasn't as good as he was in, like, 87, and then in 90 he became good again.
Who?
Neidhart.
Who?
Ha ha. I see what you did there.
That was a neat spot there, where one of the conquistadors was in the wrong part of town and tried reaching out for a tag, and Brett punched him in the face.
The conquistadors are kicking out of everything.
Yeah, they're kicking out of Dynamite Kid knee drops from the top rope.
Backbreaker is kicked out of a double team move by the Hearts, a double team move by the Rockers.
Oh man, I just got my first really good look at that mustache on Dynamite. That is epic.
Uh-huh. He's got some Tom Selleck stuff going on there.
Seriously, I don't know what awards we're doing, but that mustache has got to get one of them.
Yeah, he's like the originator of Movember. Oh, hot tag to the other conquistador.
He just rubs his side. He's like, okay, it's okay.
Hot tag.
And he doesn't even come in until he comes in.
Until he comes in.
Yeah, that was some lenient rules by Hebner here.
Yeah, I think Hebner's a little overwhelmed.
He's letting him do lucha rules since it's conquistador.
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to have two referees in these matches, they should have had one Hebner in the ring and the other Hebner outside the ring.
Right?
With Killer Bee's masks on. Twin magic.
I cannot tell the conquistadors apart, so they could totally do the twin magic if they wanted to.
Well, the one that's kicking out of all the finishers, I have a feeling that's like a 14-year-old John Cena underneath there.
He's the taller one of the two.
Yeah, one's a little more pudgy. I don't know. I know on some of the shows I've watched, they keep going with the conquistador one or two narrative, and then usually about halfway through the match, Gorilla just kind of throws his hands up in the air and says he can't tell him apart or he'll switch.
Even though one's an entire head taller.
Yeah. He'll like mask reset.
His mask looks like it has more black on it, too. Oh, no, I guess it doesn't. Never mind.
Is it just me? Or are Demolition's butts a little less spangly than usual?
They are. You're right.
Maybe they had to wait until Crush Coat came in.
Yeah. They needed spangly butts for Christmas.
Oh, he was the one with the bedazzler?
Butt spangler.
Yeah, he got the bedazzler. I mean, he had the flowing mullet, you know, the two-toned dye job.
Right.
Conquistador, two quick rolls out of the ring. You just have to wonder if any of these guys discussed what they're going to do with anyone in this match.
I was thinking the same thing.
It really doesn't seem like it does.
Barbarian is facing such a choice. Well,
yeah. Especially when you got the Rockers out there.
Right.
I haven't seen that jumping elbow probably four times match already.
You got a Marty Arn confrontation, and what you need in there is a hot, you know, little tag to Anvil.
Yeah, break it up real quick.
Anvil looks like 94 Anvil, just really bloated.
You sure this wasn't after Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, he had a big meal.
He's got that sweat spot right in his butt crack, too.
I just saw that.
Yeah, I just got a Skid Mark, really good
Skid Mark
look at
Neidhart.
It. Sweat mark. That's very polite.
Yeah, I hope it's sweat.
Pulling the sit on Survivor Series 88.
Yeah, you might be able to get away with that in black tights, not in pink.
Breakfast Tully might be the marquee one-on-one matchup here.
Yeah.
Ooh. Even
sweet German suplex.
Wow.
Oh, he got him on that.
Mm. Or did he? Looks like it could be one of those classic down or something, huh? Yeah, I hate that spot.
Ooh.
So much.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brett had his shoulders down. Hearts are gone.
Jesse had said right after, talked about the marquee one-on-one matchup, that Tully and Brett are two of the classic wrestlers, so he was noticing it too.
Ah.
Oh.
Jesse.
I just immediately tombstones Tully.
Yeah.
So 1988, Tully takes a German suplex, then a tombstone and kicks out.
They're really failing to protect all the modern-day finishers.
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Davey's mullet is really, really long. He's getting ready for those braids in about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Rocker's and the Brainbusters like going at it right now. It looks like sped up, like a Buster Keaton movie or something. Like
this.
Play the Benny Hill music over it.
I guess Hepner, I think did, throw it out or whatever.
Yeah, Hepner just disqualified them both. This probably set up their the house show run that they had coming
up. Oh, that's pretty neat.
Super kick party.
Yeah, it's a total super kick party. Young Buck stole their gimmick.
They're about to do the Meltzer driver to Tully.
Anvil's going to come off the top.
Maybe that is the Young Bucks under the Conquistador mask.
They're fighting all the way to the back.
Yep, yeah. Still going at it.
Big crane in the middle of the aisle.
God, what is that thing? I guess that's the camera over the top.
Camera,
they were doing.
Yeah.
I was going to mention, that was kind of a weird camera angle, and now I see why they got rid of it.
And is this Pat Patterson trying to calm him down?
Yes, that is Pat.
And any opportunity to get on TV for old Pat.
I want to see Tony Garea run out in a minute.
I would remember the one guy who would come out, he had like the mushroom haircut, too. Do you remember that guy?
We're down to Bulldogs and Powers of Pain versus Demolition and really the MVPs of the match, the Conquistadors.
Yeah, one team is not like the other in history of tag team wrestling.
Conquistadors must have been really good with somebody. Ooh, did he actually get him?
Somersault senton? We haven't really seen Warlord that much in this match, have we?
No.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that was supposed to be some sort of suplex or something. It looks like he just tossed him. And quite a big boot there.
Nice little flex.
Gorilla went back to. He could not tell us where he is right now.
Well, if it's the Conquistadors, he can't tell us who he is. ominously looking over the shoulder of Mr. Fuji, because you know he's got a plan about all this.
That's right. Something's about to happen. We can feel it. I must not have been paying attention. I think it was when I was having some audio issues. How did the Rujos get eliminated?
Is that the Sunset Clip?
That was the small package by Brett.
Okay. That was early on, right? Were they the first ones out?
Yeah, they were the very first ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Man, I do not remember the Dynamite mustache at all.
Seriously?
I wonder if it's CGI'd in there.
Okay, yes, this is what delayed the network. They were adding in
they want to put mustaches on the Dynamite kid.
Getting the epic showdown between the Bulldogs and the Conquistadors now.
Mm-hmm. See, I like matches like this that I know I've seen, and I know the finish at the very end, but I don't remember quite a bit of what happens until then.
Yeah, there's a lot that happened.
So I'm not sure who... I know who gets eliminated next, but I'm not sure how, so...
Right.
Yeah, because there are so many guys and so many spots and so many eliminations that you don't really remember all of them vividly.
That, the Survivor Series silver on the apron...
Mm-hmm.
That does not look very good. You can hardly make out what it is.
It looks like Reynolds wrap, too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it looks a little bit like a crumpled tinfoil, like someone ran into it before the show.
Come a long way with the LED lit up
right
now. But...
That is one thing, though. If they ever do make like a Hall of Fame museum, I would love for there to be just a hall of ring aprons. Because, you know, they've got to have piles and piles and piles of them, all different designs, all different events, just some sort of, like, display. It would have to be, like, a huge room or literally, like, a hallway, because you'd have it on both walls. But I think that would be an interesting thing to have.
Mm-hmm.
And probably replace the Undertaker's graveyard at Access, something like that.
One of the few highlights of this past season, Tough Enough, was in the contestants' bedroom. There were like random pay-per-view and old show banners hanging in their rooms. One of them was the old Saturday Night's Main Event banner.
Oh, cool!
One of my favorite banners ever.
And they made these old ring aprons into sleeping bags too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they do kind of do that museum type thing at Access every year, don't they? Especially now that they're making statues.
Mm-hmm. There should be a Conquistador statue next year.
Should be
the performance here.
Well, sure, because they're going to main event the Hall of Fame, right?
Yep,
that's the rumor.
That's why they're doing it in Dallas.
Boris Zukov's going to induct them.
Jose Lothario also.
Barbarian will come back as Tonga John. That was something, seeing the difference between Tonga John and Barbarian, just the body type. How quick, like over a course of 5 years, how he looks like a completely different person.
It's funny because, you know, you got 10 teams in this match, and so you can understand why it gets, you know, 40, 45 minutes. But at the same time, it's like they're doing a whole lot of nothing for the last five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just about to mention, we've been a long time on just these
teams.
Yeah, these kind of eight people.
Especially since Dynamite is hurt, and it felt like they got rid of, you know, some of the better teams a little quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Another terrible
clothesline.
Dynamite's banged up, and he's still doing flying headbutts from the top rope.
And that's it. They're gone. Bulldogs are out.
Off of that ridiculously bad clothesline.
A clothesline.
Mm-hmm. I guess the diving headbutt killed
him. Yeah, the missed headbutt.
We can do that, but...
And now he's so shamed by that he can't show his face on pay-per-view again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put a fake mustache on me if this is ever
aired again.
So why do you think they had the conquistadors last this long?
A rib on someone would be
maybe a surprise factor, but
yeah.
And Gorilla is putting that across, like he's saying how he's amazed that they're still in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, especially since they had him just take so many moves too. It's not like they just hung out on the apron like
I don't know. Like a Jerry Lawler hiding in the corner or something like
right.
that.
I don't know which one it was, but he took like finishers and high spots, mm-hmm. he did everything.
I didn't watch this live on pay-per-view, but I remember the following weekend on Superstars and Challenge, they were doing the special report with Gene Okerlund, and he was giving the update on what happened with the payoff of this match, and they showed the final couple of minutes, and I remember watching it and seeing the Conquistadors, one of the final three teams, and I'm like, what the hell happened? Like, you know.
Because they were rarely even on Superstars. I mean, maybe they were on – we didn't get primetime wrestling. Like, we didn't have cable. But they were not on TV very often on you know, the syndicated shows.
No. I used to get the – I used to watch the MSG house shows on MSG Network. And it used to be like one of them in the opening match against like Coco Beware or like Hillbilly Jim or somebody. But you rarely saw them as a team.
Wonder if there were more hanging around.
They like, just never like got the Vianos?
Yeah, they just never got the opportunity to do like a six man or anything.
There could be as many as your dreams can dream.
They win the tag belts and there's like 48 of them doing the Freebird rule with the tag titles.
The next year at Survivor Series, everyone on their side is a conquistador in a 10-man tag. 10-team tag. Fuji up on the apron for a second time, which makes me think the first time he went up too early.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's only been around for 30 years at this point. Why get your timing down, right?
Right.
Waving that cane.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm interested to see whether the psychology makes any sense here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it will.
Yeah, we'll something's not right. Yeah, it's completely.
He's just hanging out right now on top of the apron. Yeah. He's been up there for a long time. Okay, so he
opens
acts like he's coming into the ring, but Smash goes flying out.
You know, for the biggest spot of the match, you think they would have like had the camera focused on the action,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Now this is apparently a huge injury for that we tumble to the outside. Axe is calling timeout.
Meanwhile, Hebner is trying to lay down the law
for a countdown, or countout of all things.
Yeah, Smash is counted out. Axe is pissed. They got a camera right in the face of that, but we're not getting it now. We finally get it.
Meanwhile, Fuji is making the. I guess it's intentional for Fuji, but he is almost making the Bobby Heenan mistake with Andre the Giant. You don't poke the big man.
Right. Tell him, I'm the boss. That was a stiff cane shot, too.
Yeah, so he. Fuji ends up caning Axe. Now Smash gets him from behind.
And he slams him right out of his pants, almost.
Fuji did not miss Thanksgiving lunch.
Oh.
No.
Oh, my.
You'd think he'd be in better shape after he ran that 5K at WrestleMania, you know?
How is Pain going to check on Fuji? Why isn't he counting to 10? Conquistadors win! Conquistadors win! He counted to 10 pretty quickly in Axe and Smash.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess we can surmise that the Powers of Pain just saw an opportunity and now decided to take up the tutelage of Fuji, but...
Mm-hmm.
They're also the only baby faces in the 1980s that cared at all about a heel manager being pummeled.
Right.
Like, that showed any concern for it.
Yeah, I mean, Matilda is biting Jimmy Hart. And right. All of a sudden, and these guys have a huge conscience.
The way that it seems is that Fuji is turning face.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they needed the help to Fuji's help to beat the Conquistadors. They just didn't know.
Yeah. Like, listen, how to these get guys up. Have kicked out of everything. Let's see if he's got any advice.
I'd have to feel pretty burned if I was the Conquistadors right now. I mean, this guy's been in your corner for 40 minutes. They didn't do nothing to the guy. Now he's tripping him up.
And Fuji trips him up, and that's what finally takes the Conquistadors down.
Yeah.
And the powers of pain get a huge face pop.
Well, yep. it turns out that the Conquistadors' Achilles heel was an Achilles heel.
Yes.
You just trip him.
Yeah, the crowd is all over this.
They just dropped him right here.
And that's like they put
him. Electric chair dropped Fuji.
Oh,
Revolution,
God.
Give him the thumbs down.
How many more items of clothing would threaten to blow off him?
This is like the antithesis of the Bret Hart Stone Cold double turn.
Yeah.
Such a weird, like, not even sure what they were going for, you know?
Yeah.
Probably just the demolition face turn more than anything. But
yes, but I mean, now it feels like the face side is very strong for tag teams because you got the Hearts, now you got demolition, you got the Rockers coming in. I mean, I guess you do have the Brainbusters on the hillside too.
It also doesn't make them look like very good baby faces because Fuji, with an accident, costs his team the match. They beat him up. Right. They come out immediately after the match and they try to beat him up some more.
Technically, you still had the Twin Towers too.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, okay. That helps actually a good bit.
And it sure seems like it's powers of pain that were getting the bigger face pops during that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
45 minutes for that, huh?
Huh.
You really do get the feeling like that's the only part of the match they really laid out on paper. Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
So how should we do this here? Do we want to rank this 0 to 10 like we do the Raws and the Nitros?
Sure, we could.
Sure, yeah.
Well, I'm going to stall it. Then I'm going to ask Chad to go first.
I don't know. I got to say, you know, maybe it was just us riffing and stuff like that, but I did think the match was not as cohesive as I had thought before, or really as, I guess, as good overall. I mean, I know some people call this a classic. I know in the, while we were talking, I just kind of looked it up at the Vintage Vault Refresh, and like Scott rated this match 4.5 stars, Justin 4 stars. I'm more, I guess, leaning 3 stars in that type of territory. So I guess a 6 out of 10, maybe. I didn't like the turn at the end, though, even watching it again. So I think it's good, but it's a pretty large investment, and I'm not sure if the payoff's really worth it.
Glenn?
I am going to go 5 out of 10 because I know it's legendary for the angle, and I think that might be memory making it a little outsized. Maybe commentary added a lot to it too, because it's been a long time since I've seen this with commentary, but it did feel pretty disjointed, and a lot of the teams I like better got put out earlier, so... Yeah, mostly based on the last 5 or 10 minutes, I've got it downgraded a little bit.
All right, Jordan?
I think I'm kind of thinking like Glenn with a 5 out of 10, which is funny because I've seen this match multiple times, and I don't really remember ever thinking, wow, this is not a good match. And I wouldn't say it's not a good match. It's not a bad match, but for 45 minutes, there's a lot of times where I'm sitting there, I was checking the clock. You know, like, wow, this is really long, you know. And I think it's because a lot of it just kind of seems like they're just there to fill time. I don't think it was fluid, like, at all in any way. And the ending's pretty bad, but I mean, there's a lot of star power in there. And when you got those guys, some of the guys you got in there for 45 minutes, you're bound to have some good moments. Tully was awesome. I'd say Tully was probably the MVP of the match, followed closely by Nikolai, of course. but I think 5 out of 10.
Yeah, and I was listening to. I did have the commentary on, both like closed captioning, can kind of hear it a little bit. And I don't think it added that much. I couldn't hear much of Jesse. I could hear Gorilla a lot more. But, you know, it's kind of typical Gorilla commentary. Jesse was the one who sold the fact that Fuji held the ropes open because you really couldn't see it. You just saw, you know, I think it was Smash fall out of the ring, but you really couldn't see Fuji doing it. All right, Greeny, how about you?
I'm going to go 6 out of 10, like Chad did. A lot of star power. Looking back at it, the finish wasn't as good as I remembered, but I did like that the two newer tag teams to the company were heavily featured with the Brainbusters and the Rockers. All four of their team members got a lot of action in. Good showing from Paul Roma, too. But, yeah, the finish takes a lot away from it.
Okay, and my first thought was 6.5, and I was worried that people were going to shit on that, so I'll stick with that. And maybe it was a little bit higher because I can hear the commentary, but not that much. This happens a lot with Survivor Series matches. Some of the finishes were like, really? He just, you know, the Conquistador took so much earlier on in the match and then he ended up falling, you know, to a, you know, falling headbutt by a Barbarian. Maybe the trip with the cane was extra brutal, but do you think people overrate matches based on length? Anybody can answer that, I guess.
Length plus, like, significant story development can really make it seem better in memory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think star power, too, with this one. I mean, this is, like, all the teams pretty much from the mid to late 80s in WWF, besides really the Killer Bees. That were kind of Islanders, but, you know, I mean, this has everybody. Essentially, from the 80, really from the Dream Team era onward to 1991. So,
and it's not just star power for at the time, but also till you look at Brett and Bulldog and Shawn Michaels in the match, and the guys who went on to be such big stars too. So, it's star power at the moment, and then historical star power as well.
Right. One team that I would have liked to have seen involved in this match was the Twin Towers, but I mean their placement in the main event. Of this card was needed, and I mean they were booked perfectly in it, but that's a team that would have been really cool to add to this.
Oh yeah, totally.
Okay, and it wouldn't be, you know, actually I'm going to do one more question before we get to our last one. Jordan, you said Tully Blanchard was your MVP of this match, and I kind of like that with having 20 guys in there.
Yeah.
Greeny, what was your MVP for that match?
I totally agree with that, Tully Blanchard.
Okay, Chad.
I like Tully, but I thought Brett, when he was in there, he was pretty energetic. Showed some good flash punches, like with the corner work and stuff like that. So Brett was very solid.
Glenn?
I don't disagree with either of those, but I'm going to give a nod to Marty Jannetty, too.
I was going to say, Marty's an honorable
mention
for me.
Very good choice.
I feel like I have to give a little bit of love to the one Conquistador that was taking everything, even though some of the clotheslines left a lot to be desired. Sean was looking pretty good, too, flying around the ring. So I'll go Sean. I mean, he was working – when he was in the ring, the speed of the match picked up tremendously, as probably that's what he took before the match started. And I mullet of the night – of the match, like, I think there was only one, really. It would be two between Davey Boy and Paul Roma. But, I mean, maybe we could just change it for this evening to Dynamite Kid's manly mustache.
He has got to get
a nose
something.
Mullet.
Yes.
Yeah.
A mullet for his mouth.
A few episodes ago, I think we thought about renaming it after Crush, but maybe it just should be the Dynamite Kid Mustache Memorial Mullet of the Night.
That is a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. All right, well, we will take a quick break. We'll listen to some messages, and we will come back, and we will watch our next match in the Survivor Series canon. But first, again, these messages.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com. The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Place to Be Nation's Justin Rosero here. In addition to The Kevin Kelly Show, we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes at PlaceToBeNation.com. You can check out Scott Criscolo and me on The Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, home of great interviews and our famous vintage vault pay-per-view reviews. If you need your fix of current wrestling talk, we have plenty of options for you, including Main Event, which features a roundtable discussion led by PTBN analysts and special guests, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows, including immediate feedback and discussion for WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, and New Japan Super shows. Also, be sure to relive wrestling's past with Graham Cawthon's excellent exclusive History of Wrestling podcast, Phil Schneider's Digging in the Crates, and our monthly pay-per-view rewind roundtable series led by Ben Morse. And join Pro Wrestling Only's Will and I on the Dangerous Alliance podcast as we dive into various subjects in the form of exercises and games. Sports fans have plenty to enjoy as well. We feature the Sports Evolution Mega Show with Scott, Dr. G, Cowboy, and Cowboy Sr., The Kings of Sport, led by Live Audio Wrestling's godfather Nate Milton, as well as the NBA Team Podcast, which takes a year-round deep dive into pro hoops, and the TJ McClune Show, featuring great guests from around the world of sports journalism. PTBN also proudly features the Richard the Mailman Podcast, specializing in the world of TV, thought leadership, anger, and irreverence. As mentioned, all these shows available on PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. PTBN also is the home to tremendous in-depth features on pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tourneaments and more. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, Scott Keith's RSPWFAQ.com blog, and Piledriver.net.
Do you watch pro wrestling? Do you love pro wrestling? We do too. And there's only one podcast feed that you can't miss.
PWO PTBN Podcast Network. That's the pro wrestling only Place to Be Nation Podcast Network.
We have a host of brilliant shows dedicated to wrestling past and present.
Whether it's the territories, Japan, Lucha, old school or new school, we've got something for you.
Get a dose of history on Exile and on Bad Street with Chris Zellner.
Listen to reviews of current pay-per-views on the PTBN reaction shows. Not just WWE, but New Japan, Ring of Honor, and NXT. And get your weekly update on everything else that's going on in the indies, lucha, and beyond on This Week in Wrestling.
Relive WCW Supercards on Where the Big Boys Play with Parv and Chad.
Join Dylan Hales and Dave Musgrave on one of the very best shows for super hardcore nerds wrestling culture.
Go deep into WWF history and discover the Bob Backlund and Bruno Sammartino eras on Titans of Wrestling.
Don't miss the Pro Wrestling Super Show with Stephen Graham and Tim Livingston.
You can get the full archive of Goodwill Wrestling with Good Old Will from Texas.
There's tag teams back again with Kelly and Marty Sleaze.
Then there's the only pro wrestling game show, Brainbuster, with me, Johnny Sorrow, and a panel of great guests every time.
Get them all on one feed.
PWOPTBN Podcast Network.
You know you want to hear it.
All right, we are back. We are going to be watching for our second half of the show, Survivor Series 1995, the wild card match. Kind of a hidden gem, something that doesn't get talked about too much. And this card seems to be full of a couple hidden gems. But first, before going on, we're going to do a little plug skis, talk about what we are all working on, both current and future, really. Chad, why don't we start with you? I know you had a big launch over the last few days.
Yeah, so the latest episode of Where the Big Boys Play, Beach Blast 1992. Good show, but really, if you got any time to carve out, go watch the Rick Rude versus Ricky Steamboat Iron Man match. Incredible match. So that's what's going on now. And 2016, in the future, I will be starting a series on Place to Be Nation, where I will be chronicling IWA Mid-South, so early CM Punk, early Colt Cabana, early Chris Hero. A lot of fun, a lot of trashy indie stuff, some light tubes.
It's some staph infection.
Yeah, good family fun.
So I always forget, which Rotten is that?
That's Ian. That's right. Ian owns it, yeah. Some great stuff. In the first show I watched, I guess somebody was handing out pamphlets for another show, and Ian, before his match, before every match, they cut a promo, and Ian, before his match, has one of the pamphlets and calls everybody in the audience a pussy, and if you brought the pamphlet, get the fuck out, and it's quite a interesting endeavor.
Sounds amazing. This is the first time hearing about it. It didn't get approved in my my chats.
I pulled rank and file.
Yeah. Is this on the IWA Mid-South Network?
They really should. I think this is a quick sidebar, but Chikartopia is pretty cool how they've added pretty much all the relevant shows in Chikar history up to some earlier this year. But I really think Smart Mark Video kind of missed the boat and not partnering with Chikara and CCW and IWA Mid-South and some of the other promotions they released DVDs of to do a kind of network or streaming service, because I think that would just like dominate pretty much your indie viewing, because you could have all those promotions.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure.
But now you've got Chikara, which they do the DVDs of. You got CCW, which has their own streaming service. So it kind of becomes too much.
And Chikara stream other shows now right away, like a lot of the, your Ring of Honors and stuff too. So why would you go through a secondary company? And I mean, this is just my own bias. Like I want to give it directly to the people making the product, so they make more product. And they get all of it. All right. Well, I'm really excited about that. I've never seen any of that Mid-South stuff, so I will be probably adding that to my list of hundreds of shows to watch.
It's an interesting. I mean, I've titled the article "The Last Territory" is what the running theme's going to be, and I started in 2001, and the way IWA Mid-South ran, they were weekly and have the same kind of core audience and mix in kind of southern brawling with hardcore elements, and then end it adding in the indie superstars like you see Punk and Cabana. Like I said, I mean, they're really early in their career, but still pretty polished, I would say, for as inexperienced as they are.
And that's where like Cabana and here and Punk got noticed by Ring of Honor, was through Mid-South.
Right. Yes. And even Hero. I mean, the main thing coming up in way down the line, but in 2002 is the TLC match between Punk and Hero. That's the first IWA Mid-South match that I remember being really hyped on the internet.
Well, cool. We're looking forward to that. Glennie, what do you got going on?
Yes, sir. I am the Wednesday Walker. I have the Wednesday Walker on the web every Wednesday morning at placetobenation.com. It's a link roundup of things that I find interesting or amusing on this wide, wonderful web of ours. I have also guested on several podcasts recently. I just did the first episode of Rank and File with a couple of you fine folks, which I'm sure we'll get to in just a second. I was recently on the Super Extreme Vault, watching Japanese death matches, and I am starting up a new podcast venture, which, Chad, I dearly hope you approve.
He's typing a message to somebody right now.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It is not about wrestling or sports, because we have a ton of those, and a ton of them are good, and I don't know what I have to add there, but it is going to be... Right now, it's going to be called the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular.
That's awesome.
The first episode has been in production for a couple of days. I've recorded three quarters of it. It is going to be a long one, but a meaty one, in which my brother and I take a deep dive into the Hunger Games series with the Part 3, Part 2 coming out this week. He is a bigger fan than I am. He got me to watch the movies, and we talked about it voluminously. So we are just waiting for the last movie to come out, and we're going to record another segment on it, almost like a reaction show. So that'll be interesting. And then look for that, hopefully this Friday. And I have the second episode tentatively set up. If everything goes well there, and I'm going to try to call my shot, we will be doing, again, with my brother, who I think is an interesting person to talk to, and with Mr. Steve Willey doing...
Who?
I know.
I didn't approve this. Get this approved in my chats either.
Doing a complete preview of the holiday tournament coming soon to PlaceToBeNation.com. Running Ooh. Down the whole bracket. So look for that soon as well. And as for what episode 3 is going to be, I have no idea.
Cheeses. A review of cheeses.
Sure.
Not Jesus. Cheeses.
Cheeses. Yes, yes.
Jesus will be covered in episode 2.
Oh, very much so, I would expect. But that is what I have going on now. It's exciting. Got big things popping.
Musical stars. If it's a variety show, I want musical stars. So I'm gonna work on booking some for you.
Grant Owens.
Grant Owens, yep.
can you sing and or dance?
Natalie Merchant. I will bring Natalie Merchant along.
Cool.
All my Lilith Fair partners.
Oh, we could do a Lilith Fair episode.
Yes. Oh, my God. That'd be amazing.
Do you
it would
hear
probably
those
be the greatest podcast ever. Trademark Stephen Graham.
Those notifications are sealing Glenn's fate on his podcast there. that's the sound of those episode ideas going down the drain.
All right, Jordan. I'm going counterclockwise around my Skype list here.
Yeah, as Glenn said, he was on the inaugural episode of Rank and File, which is a show that I'm hosting, and it's a real simple concept. Every episode is a different topic. We have a couple people on. I had you and I had Glenn on for my first episode, and we make our top 10 of whatever that month's topic is. It's a monthly show. Episode 2's in the works. Not going to be out till December, of course. I'd like to get it taped a little bit before that. But yeah, that's just a lot of fun, and I really did want to start doing it because, you know, I'm known as kind of the negative guy, and that's fine. I don't mind complaining and whining about stuff, but sometimes it's fun to talk about stuff that you like too, you know. So every episode's going to be stuff that we like the most rather than our least favorite of anything. So that's just kind of what I got going on. Of course, I have to do the Seinfeld stuff with Jason, who I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit. We are in season 6, and this show is really... really, really good, and we're at that point in the show where every episode could be like a 10 out of 10, and I have to find reasons to not make it a 10 out of 10. So I feel like Homer Simpson is as the food critic, where I give everything 7 thumbs up, and that's my bad rating for it, you know. So other than that, I put up my Christmas tree yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah. So that happened.
That is a good plug.
Yeah. So if anyone wants to stop by and see it, you can come on in. I don't mind.
Oh, sure. Drop your address right down here.
And, I sure will. I live in, oops, I just went out.
Greeny, how about yourself, my man?
As Jordan was just talking about, our Seinfeld series rewatch, which is myself, Jordan, Aaron George, Justin, and Andrew Flanagan. And this week, we will be taking a look at the Mom and Pop Store, which is one of my personal favorites. And it's a very good timing because it's a Thanksgiving-themed episode, and we have Thanksgiving right around the corner. From there, our excellent WWE Network adventure, which we are chronologically watching everything on the WWE Network, which is myself, Chad, Justin, Scott, and Dan McGinn. And coming this week is a episode of World Class Championship Wrestling that has one of the hottest angles shot from the 80s, featuring the match between Kerry Von Erich and Ric Flair at Christmas Star Wars at Reunion Arena on Christmas Day of 1982, where the famous heel Freebird moment happens. If you have not watched this match, do yourself a favor and do it. It is the 128-82 episode of World Class, and it is the only match on that episode, and it is fantastic. And in the future, coming into 2016, we will be starting another rewatch series like Seinfeld with another iconic 1990s show, and I will just leave it at that for now.
Cop Rock.
Carolina City.
Dinosaurs.
All right. I got stuff coming up too, but I'm gonna wait to just talk about it until Chad Campbell's not on the line. So what we're going to do
is... You're poison, Chad. You're poison.
So Chad is aware of everything.
Just got to grab the brass ring here at Place to Be Action.
Going to bust through the Teflon ceiling.
Teflon.
All right. God. Well, as I mentioned, coming out of the break, we're going to go to the Survivor Series wildcard match, 1995. And I don't think we said what the starting time of the last one was, so we will do that here. We are an hour and 25 minutes into the show, and we have a smirking British bulldog, a very judgmental Sid, and just a rockin' Todd Pettengill on the screen right now with a cummerbund that looks like a fruit salad of some sort. So we'll... we should just analyze the still screen for the rest of the show.
Yeah, just watch this for the next half hour.
So much going on.
There is a lot going on here. All right, well,
we've got the karate fighters.
We do have the karate fighters. We should do a live watch of all the karate fighters spliced together. There was some controversial stuff in that tournament.
Yeah, there was.
All right, and I will count us in to start in 3, 2, 1.
Oh, didn't even see Jim Cornette back there.
Yeah, Jim, oh, yeah. There is Jim Cornette.
No glasses, Jim Cornette. Sid probably stole them.
Some great yellow pants.
Yeah, very squinty.
He's squinting at Todd's cummerbund.
My favorite Sid moment of all time, I don't know if I ever talked about this on the air or really mentioned it to anybody. I went to school in Milwaukee. My parents live outside of Chicago. So on a whim, I attended a Nitro in Rockford, Illinois on the way back to Milwaukee. Took a long way. And enter Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels here and Ahmed Johnson with his...
Titties bouncing.
Yeah, he's got some... He can't stop. I'm getting really distracted here because Shawn Michaels just called Ahmed his back door.
Interesting.
Yes.
This is a back-to-back Survivor Series where Shawn has the French braid in his hair.
Yes.
That type of wild card match, huh?
We'll be looking for handkerchiefs in back pockets during this match.
Oh, don't you know it.
Steve's mystery project that he doesn't want Chad to hear about is called Ahmed Johnson's Back Door.
So anyway, I was driving back to Milwaukee, and alongside me for, gosh, about half an hour was Sid driving an old Cadillac rental. Eventually, pulled up to it next to him in the stop sign, gave him the old, hey, how's it going?
The thumbs up.
Yeah, pretty much. And he smiled back and waved.
Yeah, I still have great memories of seeing Lash LaRue on the road, and he did his little thing where he would, his gesture with his sideburns, he did that to me at a red light when I waved at him.
I remember one time after a Nitro, we would go out and try and catch any of the wrestlers leaving for autographs, and Prince Iaukea waved this kid up to him, and right as the kid got to the car, they took off. It was so mean and awesome.
Prince Iaukea is a dick.
Yeah, totally. 100%.
Oh, this is some beautiful attire on Razor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
stole Todd's alternate vest here.
Yeah. Is that the powder blue tights that Razor has? I can't tell what the lights say.
I can't tell if it's the teal or the blue, but it's decidedly not fall colors.
Yeah, definitely a mid-90s patterns going on. I think I had a tie that was purple, very similar to that outfit.
Anyone, anyone who's listened to this who's never seen this match, it was the first, it's called the wild card match because it's the first time where they had heels and baby faces teaming with one another at Survivor Series.
Yeah, which is a really cool dynamic.
Yeah.
That's why I was kind of excited to watch this one when we discussed it because, you know, the tag match we just watched, I've probably seen 20, 25 times. And this one, I don't think I've ever seen outside of when it originally happened.
Mm.
I don't think I've ever gone back to watch this match. So it's a total mystery.
So much fun.
Scott Criscolo jersey watch. I saw Shaquille O'Neal Orlando Magic and a Juwan Howard Washington Bullets.
Well, nice. They are at the Cap Center in D.C., so...
Was this pay-per-view where they had the Bill Clinton impersonator?
Yep. Yep.
I thought it was the real one when I was a kid.
it was the same one that they had at WrestleMania 10.
Yeah,
10. Deep Rossi sitting with him.
Bulldog is going heavy on the tassels.
Yes.
Tonight.
That's
wow.
That's a pretty sweet jacket.
Well, I want to get one of those for myself.
Yeah.
Well, now that Macho Man's out of the Fed, someone has to do it.
That's right. He inherited all of Macho Man's tassels.
So I guess Cornette, was he out there with Yoko earlier and then went to the back to come back out with Bulldog? Or?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he was out there.
Owen and Yoko, too. Oh, yeah, he's kind of begging, explaining himself to them now.
Camp Cornette is a very underrated and forgotten stable.
Yep. Very, a not well-remembered stable. It's
Ted DiBiase's
million-dollar camera.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wow. That kid is stunned. Sid is not.
Is that the face that he makes when he's driving, too?
He was soaking wet as well.
I was going to say, Sid was like just dumped a huge bucket of water right over his head.
Took the ice bucket challenge. Sid the Innovator. As always.
A challenge! I picture Sid making this face and having this demeanor like throughout his entire life. Like he's going to the grocery store. Like he goes up to the deli counter to get a pound of ham and just looking like that.
Well, you guys know I like reality TV. And a couple years ago, Sid's son was on Big Brother. And I was so desperate. Hoping that like he was going to make an appearance on the show for some reason, just come in and punch people in the chest.
he should have came into the house.
Yeah, it would have been awesome.
If there's a shortage of baby oil in the country in 1995, we know where to find it. It's all over Ahmed Johnson.
Yeah. He's actually having an allergic reaction to it with his pectoral muscles just having some sort of seizure.
And for once, he doesn't have a ridiculous wedgie. I'm sure that will change very quickly.
They announced the first team of Yoko, Owen, Dean Douglas, and help me out here. There's one more. Razor.
Razor.
Yeah. At 1,390 pounds. Something you don't get anymore, the combined weight of the Survivor Series teams.
It's a swank sign to the crowd there. Bring back Teddy Long.
Oh, I see Howard Stern rules.
Baba Booey.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, this was Ahmed's debut, wasn't it?
Yes, his pay-per-view debut.
Yeah, there we go.
Man. Throwing some kicks for the Karate Fighter fan in the crowd.
Dudes with attitudes? Did I just say that?
Yes, yep. You did. Yeah.
There's a starter Phoenix Suns winter jacket.
Was it starter? Okay.
Yep.
And Shawn Michaels is pumping the air.
Yeah.
I am looking for a new winter jacket. So if anyone has any great ideas, you know, like...
Go with pro player instead of starter.
Yeah, like some San Jose Sharks gear.
Yep.
That entrance way with the little thing that comes up, that's one of my favorite entrances from this era.
Is that girl wearing an America Online hat?
Yes.
It was.
It's on my list of most 90s already.
Yeah, totally.
We will keep a track of most 90s for this one for sure.
This has been a gold mine so
yes,
far.
Yes, it has been.
Introductions.
Love that kid who had like side of a cardboard box that he just like drew some letters on.
The star power in this match is ridiculous. Plus Dean Douglas.
Boom, boom.
I am not a Shane Douglas fan.
No.
You know what? His ECW run right before he came in here was good, but I think that after he left, his 97-98 run was better.
Yeah, I like him in favorite Shane Douglas is 98 ECW.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's probably to me. I really like French Zine as a valet.
Oh, they were great together.
I thought she added a lot.
Yeah, them coming out to Perfect Strangers was one of the best. One of the best entrance themes used by somebody.
Yeah, there was an ECW title match he had with Flash Funk that was really good.
Yeah.
Well, there's the one famous four-way match, and I don't know the year off the top of my head, but it was Shane, Two Cold Scorpio, one of the Pit Bulls, and Chris Jericho, I believe, which is a...
It's got to be sometime
it's 96. Yep. That's 96. Yes.
Okay.
June. That's right when the Pit Bull has the neck injury that they... Yeah,
that's right.
And then Shane grabbed him by the halo and started...
Yeah.
Around.
Yeah. He grabs him by the halo and the ECW crowd freaks out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Jim Ross posed a great question here. Can you imagine if they got Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich in a room and they had to work together? That's what this tag team match is going to be like.
Wow.
Very
please,
well.
Please don't remind me that Newt Gingrich exists.
So it's Jim Ross, Vince, and Perfect doing commentary
right now. My dad went on a date with Newt Gingrich's daughter.
Wow.
Fun fact there, yeah.
Wow.
Newt went on quite a few dates himself there.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
Well, Newt was the professor at West Georgia, which is my alma mater, so. Some pretty long ties to good old Newt.
Yoko is pretty hefty here.
Is there a storyline reason why Owen Hart has an exclamation point on the back of his tights?
Yes! I don't know, actually.
It's also the return of our favorite Mr. Fuji from our last shower sandal Mr. Fuji.
Well, not only Mr. Fuji, but also our favorite manager from the last match, a flag.
Yep.
See if Fuji turns.
Yeah.
Gonna walk out with Sid by the end of the match.
Sean and Owen the start?
Mm-hmm.
This is a pre-concussion angle.
This was actually the night before.
Okay.
The night after is when the concussion angle happens, and Diesel does his "you're either with me or against me" heel turn thing.
Right. Nice.
Where he interrupts a match between I think Marty and Skip.
Bastard.
Yep.
Jim Cornette trying to have it both ways.
And Sean just hit him in the back door, so.
Sean is just all over people's back doors this evening.
Wouldn't you be?
Yeah.
Fuji's like mesmerized that he was able to skin the cat.
I'm going to name drop our second Deep Purple song of the night, and that's "Knocking at Your Back Door."
Going deep into the Deep Purple references here.
Both 80s Deep Purple songs, that and Perfect Strangers.
It's a Golden Girl tribute act in the first row. wearing one of the Bret Hart shirts. Early cosplay.
One up and the guy that dresses like Hogan.
Yeah. Who's that? The guy in the front row, like two to the left of the Golden Girl. Is that kind of a famous fan?
Yeah, Faith No More.
Yeah, that's right.
The guy and Vladimir is there too.
I just now realized. I saw him from the back, and I thought it was Owen Hart. No, that's Dean Douglas with the exclamation point.
Because he's a teacher.
Because he's a teacher.
Yes! Yeah.
What if you taught trig? It really make no sense.
Taught wood shop.
Exclamation yes. point hanging out of the front of his tights, too.
Hey, now.
Jeez. Talk about a Grundy.
We're talking so much about back doors. Would that be the key?
Oh.
I thought it, but I wasn't going to say it.
Well, that's what you guys keep me around for. Yeah. Right, Chad? Chad, please.
Hear all those decks, those jokes and more on the Glenn Butler Hour.
Oh, Jesus. Ahmed just almost killed Owen.
That's the back door. I think that's a opening.
If you need some oil to help get in that back door, you can take it off of Ahmed's chest.
Yeah. Human slip and slide, Ahmed Johnson.
Whoa.
Seeing Yoko that big just bums me out a little.
Yeah. Ahmed and Yoko are pretty color coordinated here.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The most massive individual in the history of the World Wrestling Federation, so saith Vince. And it still cracks me up every time the closed captioning says World Wrestling Entertainment.
So, since I wasn't watching very much at this time, the wild card match, did they not find out until the night of that they were on the same team? Or was it something that they knew going in that they were going to be teaming with guys they hated? How did that work?
I believe that, yeah, they announced it ahead of time on Raw Superstars.
Yeah, I remember them announcing it too. Like, at the beginning of the match, I feel like they were saying that someone was going to get face Bulldog, like the winner of this match, or was that a different match? I was very confused. Maybe it was it must have been the winner of the winner of the main event
got, well, yeah, Bulldog was the number one contender.
Okay, so that was Brett versus Backlund was the...
It was Brett versus Diesel.
Brett Diesel. This is where Brett won it back.
Okay. Yep. Brett Backlund was the 94 one then.
Yep, right. with the towel and Helen.
Yeah. Also a very special backdoor episode of with the towel and Helen.
Maybe that's a Helen Hart tribute act.
There. Yeah.
Or maybe it's Helen Hart. Who knows?
Could be.
Is this the longest Dean Douglas has ever been in a WWF match?
I think so.
He's probably gearing up for a Black Friday as we speak.
Yeah?
Yep. The Target. Check the cartwheel.
He's got a couple Four Horsemen four packs in the back.
Be sweet, Adam. He'll save some for you.
Yeah, he probably destroys them because he hates Flair so much. He's like, that's not going to be able to sell in my store. Not on my
old ECW figure in there to replace them.
We were at Toys R Us not that long ago. My kids like to check out the wrestlers, and there's a Gold Dust in the newest set of figures. And someone had taken like the old Jax figures. You remember them?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it was a Gold Dust from that era, and they put it back in the box and returned it.
Mm.
And Toys R Us put it back on the shelf on clearance. My kids were just stunned. They're like, did we find a rare one? I'm like, no, you didn't.
I'd love if they came out with their Legends action figures, if they came out with a ECW Triple Threat 3-pack with Shane Douglas, Candido, and Bam Bam.
That would be pretty sweet.
That'd be really cool.
Awesome.
Toss in Francine for a 4-pack.
Yeah.
A lot of plastic in those molds, though.
And as we're talking, Shane Douglas got eliminated.
Yeah, I thought he pinned Sean for a second there. I'm like, ooh, that
yeah,
can't
that was
right.
Ref kind of messed that up.
Yeah.
This is good. Owen and a Bulldog in the ring now. Yep. Shoving match.
Awesome.
Razor distracted Dean, and Sean was able to roll him up.
These two guys had some great chemistry. That match in March of 97 is awesome.
The European Germany title, the Germany match.
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of my favorites of that era.
And he's really tasseled up, like all the way up his legs.
It's a serious commitment.
It's like he's becoming a sentient being. Like they're overtaking him. Like Venom, you know, in the Spider-Man. Is that how that works? Is that how Venom works, Steve?
Yes.
Thought so. Someone called Ben Morse.
Great back kick by...
Literally just had that conversation with Chris Daniels over the weekend.
Has Sid got in the match yet?
No. If you ever want to get a wrestler's attention, just drop the name Ben Morse. Got a lot of pull amongst indie wrestlers.
I'm working on a theory that he's actually Kalisto.
It's a conquistador in the first match.
Yeah.
Sean and Razor about to face off. Razor pointing to the sky, kind of reminiscing about their ladder matches.
Fuji waving the Japanese flag.
As well he should.
I mean, I like Owen Hart clapping and encouraging. That's pretty clever. But yeah, Fuji gladly waving the flag. Doesn't make a lot of sense.
No.
Boy, girl was very into it. She did a big fist pump.
She's a big Sean fan.
Vince Cole on the match as they do the wide shot of the arena.
Yes, he's getting very excited about the crisscrossing of the ropes.
That we couldn't see.
Yes. They had a close-up on all the stalling, but as soon as there was action, they zoomed way out. Was Kevin Dunn around back here? How long has he been with?
He's been around since the 80s, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, his father used to be the head of... doing whatever he does. And
he's the other conquistador with Ben Morris, I think.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Boy, she is not happy about this racist edge that may be happening.
Max Dubois is pissed.
Well, of course, she was counting on getting to go out with Sean after the match.
Exactly.
Oh, he got the razor's edge.
Wow. Also, did you say Blanche Dubois?
Yeah, did I get that right? Or is it Rose Dubois and Blanche Devereaux? I don't remember.
It was Blanche Devereaux.
Did I just go Gone with the Wind
and
on
Rose Nyland.
Ugh.
There's Razor's toothpick in the ring.
Yep.
That's hardcore.
I think we've had enough hardcore content on this show.
Yeah.
Super.
Hoo-ah.
Really disappointed in the lack of jerseys here. I was going to call them all out. I was all ready for it. It's got to be a Charlotte Hornet something somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, we can do most 90s and most 1890s because of her in the front row.
You know, I don't know about there being a Hornets thing. In 95, they were kind of past their peak.
Yeah, that team had kind of broken up.
It was like a 91 and 94 run, huh?
Right. Probably like a lot of bull stuff.
Heat. Around. The Heat were heating up then, too.
The Heat were heating up, yeah. The Knicks were hot.
Looking out for a Kukoc jersey?
Who's you still looking on that?
I mean, who was on the Bullets at this point?
George Bjorkstein?
Yeah.
The ugliest man ever to play pro basketball.
I don't know, Vlade Divac.
Vlade Divac is pretty bad too.
It was Juwan Howard and gosh, I don't think I could think of another guy on the team.
Me neither.
Yeah, that's why they were able to get Juwan Howard.
Yeah, right.
Sid pounding away.
Yeah, first time we see Sid in this match. Man, who would bring a little girl to the front row of a pay-per-view? And that girl can't be older than 3.
Maybe we'd get her on the podcast one day.
Should.
Like the Nail family.
Can you imagine paying like front row seats for your 3-year-old?
No.
Match has slowed down significantly since
it's
come in the ring.
I was about to say, Sid's always looks good on the apron, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Sid's best run might have been in ECW as well.
Okay, so here's some names. Here's some names from the 95-96 Washington Bullets.
All right.
Albert Chaney. Juwan Howard.
Guy, right?
Yeah. Tim Legler. Cedric Lewis.
3-point shooter, Tim Legler.
Robert Pack. Brent Price, Mark Price. Rasheed Wallace was drafted by them that year. And Chris Webber.
No.
Oh, okay. So Juwan and Chris Webber played together in the pros too.
Yeah.
That's a team that probably did not win many games.
And they finished 10th in the Eastern Conference with a record of 39-43.
I was going to guess 37.
The Bulls finished first with a record of 72-10.
Oh, yeah, this is their peak year.
Steve, your Milwaukee Bucks finished a wonderful 25-57.
Hey, Andrew.
The Hawks Bulls were pretty good that year.
The Hawks finished with the number 6 seeded with a 46-36 record.
The Mookie boy.
That'd be the number 1 seed in the East now.
The right below them was the number 7 Detroit Pistons with a identical 46-36 record, and my New York Knicks finished above the Hawks with a 47-35 record.
Meanwhile, we just had some excellent camera work going
on. It was like it reminded me of the WCW referee cam.
Yes.
Like it was just kind of very pixelated. And they zoom back in on a Sid's nipple.
That was so bad. They had Nick Patrick wearing like a hockey helmet.
Yeah, that was great in theory.
Only did it for the Halloween Havoc show, too.
Yep, the 91 Havoc.
Yeah.
Probably be a much better idea to do it now with like the GoPro cams. I know they did that.
Probably actually have a cool angle.
The AAA pay-per-view this year. It's not Jack Evans, his partner from Australia. On Helico, wore a GoPro camera in the match, and to show how bad that pay-per-view was, they didn't show any of the GoPro video that he was taking.
Ooh, Sean misses Sweet Chin Music.
Sean missed Sweet Chin Music, hit Sid, and then just kind of shrugged.
Awesome.
What are you going to do?
And now Bulldog, I guess, was that supposed to be a leg drop on Razor?
But he hit Sid, but Razor sold it. Sid.
And Sid no sold it. And
what just happened?
it is breaking loose.
Whatever just happened, it's Sid's fault.
Yeah, that was a disaster.
I just love Sean's shrug there. Like, yeah, what are you going to do? I'm just that much of an asshole.
Oh, Sean just got powerbombed now by Sid.
Yep.
And now Matt just stood there when he can easily slid Sean down. This is just...
This is kind of... That's why... In
the wild card, guys.
Yeah, that... In Lucha, when they do this, you know, sometimes they'll have two intense rivals team up, and then if you lose, you wrestle a singles match against each other later in the night for mask versus mask or hair versus hair. That's a pretty interesting concept because then you can say, like, well, you know, I kind of hate this guy so much, I want to take his mask, so I may want to take the loss in the tag match.
I think the most interesting concept I ever saw in Lucha was one time I saw an 8-man tag, and it was each team had one male, one female, one midget, and one man in drag.
Yes.
On both sides. That was something.
Yes.
Meanwhile, after all that mishigas, we are back to Owen and Sean to kind of stabilize things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yoko hasn't been in a long time.
No.
Yeah, he ran in briefly and then taking a breather.
Did he really run in, though?
Well, I mean...
Well, Weeble Swabble.
Here he comes.
Running in.
Yeah, it's a sprint for Yoko.
Some great punches right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really laying him in.
Man, it doesn't matter how low your TV volume is. When Vince starts getting riled up.
Oh, yeah, you can hear him on mute.
Yeah.
All I heard was, "Fuck, foul!" Wow, this is his main meal ticket right now. 95-96 Sean. It was unbearable.
Julia Roberts and Lyle Lovett as a couple reference by the announce team.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Were we ever that young?
Yeah. they are referencing the Syracuse, getting jumped by 9 guys and getting a severe concussion.
Oh, was that around this time?
That's right. That just happened.
Yoko really working hard here.
Mm-hmm.
is he even touching Shawn Michaels?
He has 2 fingers on the neck.
See, now Fuji should be waving that flag. There he goes.
Yeah, right?
Shawn, for his part, ain't doing a whole lot underneath.
No, yeah, you can be moving around in that hole trying to get out of it.
Ahmed Johnson is a little upset.
He's like, why does that hurt? Why does that hurt you?
I've had massages that hurt more than that.
Shawn Michaels making sure he can still feel all his extremities.
There's your flag.
There you go. Oh, no, but it's really inspiring Shawn.
Really, really smart by Fuji to do that right in blocking the hard camera.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Guy's been around for 12 years and hasn't figured that out yet.
Yeah. Fuji is so inept.
£641 they're claiming Yokozuna is right now.
And that's probably shoot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
I'd say Kim Cornette was probably one of my favorite things around this time.
Mm-hmm.
When did Vader come in?
96 right. Rumble.
Yeah. January 96.
Was he gone from WCW by now, by November, though?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought so.
Yeah, he was gone in, like, September, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wasn't even on the first Nitro.
Right. Yeah. He wasn't on the first Nitro. He was just in the intro sequence.
He was just in the intro,
months.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I tagged Ahmed. His punches don't look quite as good.
No.
Really going after Razor.
Yoko no sells the punch from Ahmed.
It looks like he just got a little headache.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pearl River Plunge coming up, perhaps?
Boom. There it is.
Yep, got it.
Ooh. Great move.
It is.
I'd be terrified to take that move from him, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Been watching his Misawa tapes.
Yeah.
Student of the game.
There's that wedgie, too.
It was coming. Now, Chad, who do you think is the better worker overall, Ahmed or Misawa?
Very close. When I do my greatest wrestler ever battle, I'm debating them for one. Yeah.
Keep that spot in mind when you do.
I was going to say, I think Ahmed staggering out of position may have knocked down to number 2.
Looked like Razor was going to go for the second rope bulldog, and Ahmed couldn't position himself, so Razor had to come off the ropes and hit a running bulldog instead.
Yeah.
Probably the worst spine buster ever. Right?
Yeah.
Not he's as good like, spine buster as Arn's.
Like the thing about Ahmed is he just had such a good look and powerful and
so sloppy in the ring.
Yeah. It feels like he could have.
And now randomly taunts
that. What an idiot.
Oh my gosh.
That was. Baby was the dumbest baby face. I mean, this guy has Razor
Death. He just immediately gets up and walks out of the ring. You can't even roll out. Wow. This guy took a guy's finisher.
Might as well go back to the turnbuckle and start pointing in the air again.
My God, what a dope.
Jesus. Oh, here comes the crew back out.
Sid brought out the muscle with him.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, man.
Man, I've been watching too much Ring of Honor. I was waiting for the ref to get pulled out there. Show I went to in Milwaukee had 8 matches or 7 matches, and 2 of them had the ref getting pulled out by a manager.
Was it Truth and Nana? Or
Truth and
Veda.
I can't even remember at this point. The Beer City Bruiser did.
There we go. That's the nice feather and Bulldogs cap.
Yeah, I'm getting the Hooper River Razor. So we're down Easily to
tag Sean.
Down to Sean, Bulldog, and Ahmed versus Yoko and.
That's it.
Yep.
And I missed it, but somehow 123 Kid managed to get beat up already.
Yeah, just got pummeled right off the apron.
And now they're leaving. I don't know what that was.
I think they just wanted Razor out of there, huh?
Weebles are wobbling.
But they won't fall down.
Oh!
And I apologize. I don't even remember how Owen got eliminated.
We got Pearl River.
Oh, that's right.
Okay.
Yoko taking his time now, stalking his
prey. How long does this match go?
Got him by that braid.
He won too.
He slammed him.
Oh, that lady really wants the boy toy.
Yes.
Yep.
They should do a body slam challenge with Shawn Michaels.
Oh, and the Hulkbuster leg drop. Yoko taking his time, stalking his prey. Yeah.
There we go. Now we're going for the bottom.
What was the point of this match? Was there some sort of stipulation? Because why would they want to tag together?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't think so. I think it's just special attraction.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is essentially the semi main.
But do you think they could like have manufactured a? And maybe would be something that would happen today, like some sort of KFA
in
reason.
The ranks or something. Yeah.
Like, hey, winning team gets to pick a match that they want, or
right?
Did Mr. Fuji just turn around to jaw at someone in the crowd while Yokozuna was doing his finisher?
Yep.
Probably.
The same guy that was waving the Japanese flag when Razor was in the ring before.
I mean, if Bulldog's going to be your number one contender and they knew that going forward, well, they just say, like, whoever gets the final pinfall is going to be the number one contender.
Right.
And you could have Bulldog pin Yoko right here, which mm-hmm. I don't even know what happens at the end of this match. But
I think Ahmed's about to Pearl River plunge him. Not quite. Okay.
Slams him.
He almost slammed him.
Then spins it
Bulldog
around.
Breaks helicopter. It up.
Bulldog breaks up his partners.
Even though Yoko's the only one left. But I mean, why would he? Why would he care if he wins?
Yeah,
I mean, again, is the winner's share of the purse a little bigger?
Yeah.
Now, maybe this match was set up by WWF President Gorilla Monsoon, and everyone involved just has so much respect for him.
Sweet chin music, a big splash from Ahmed, and that's all she wrote.
Bulldog wins.
Yeah, right. Well.
See, there's a move Ahmed can do.
So Sid's the only one eliminated on that team.
Look at Cornette celebrating with Bulldog.
Oh, Cornette's awesome.
That is pretty awesome. Ray's jumping up and down.
Ding dong.
Oh, they get Vince said what they get. They get an entry in the record books with the victory.
Oh,
wow. All right.
The Fink's got his feather pen, his quill out. It's in the ink.
His quill.
Was Ahmed even trying?
And
there?
So it shall be.
Well, I'm thinking with the victory, Sean gets an entry in the back door.
Mm-hmm.
like, come on, Ahmed, you lift with your knees.
Ahmed is sucking wind, buddy.
Yep, that was a devastating cover, according to Vince.
I've seen devastating covers in my time.
Oh, here we go. A little bit of Bill as we fade out.
Yeah. It really does. That is a good impression of him, though.
Yeah.
Looks like Bill paid his $20 for Skype.
Yeah, it's a good impression of what Sunny used to look like, too.
Yeah, she's currently telling him her plans for ISIS, I think.
Yeah.
What's kind of funny is, I mean, this is probably how Bill really was acting in the Oval Office around this time.
Yep, and Sunny might have been there a couple times.
I got a special visitor.
Come in the back door.
There are lots of back doors.
And Todd Pettengill was there too.
That's what we were all talking about, Steve.
The annals of history, so to speak.
Oh my god.
I'm 12.
Oh, right.
All right, guys. Let's read this one too. We will who did I say? I started with Chad Lester, so I'll start with Jordan this time.
I actually had more fun with this one.
Yeah.
And I think it might be partially too, because like I said, I mean, that was all a mystery to me going in. I mean, I kind of had an idea of who would win based off knowing the promotion's history, but I wouldn't say it was great. How about a 7? It's like a B+ maybe, huh?
Sure. Okay. Greeny?
I'll go with a 7.2. I love the concept. The 15-year-old me was really, really pumped for this match. I remember watching it on pay-per-view, and it pretty much holds up. You have a lot of the heavy lifting, mid-card work rate guys in there with Razor and Bulldog and Owen. Really fun.
And Glenn?
This is one where I actually think watching it with commentary would bring it down for me, because I just hate 90s Vince so much.
Good. It was not good. And then you have Jim Ross and Mr. Perfect there too, which is just like an odd.
Just a bunch of people screaming at each other, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. JR with another play-by-play guy, I never think is a good combination. And Mr. Perfect at this point, I don't know. I had some fun actually watching it though, so I think I'll go with a 6.
Okay, Chad.
Yeah, I liked it slightly more than the last match, so I'll go 6.5. It was entertaining.
And I will go 7, just a little bit higher than the last match as well, but there were still still some pretty big botches in that match.
Oh, yeah.
Especially with the finish with Razor and Sid.
Mm-hmm.
Completely messed up. And, these guys, no, it wasn't like Ahmed was the one who was screwing up the finish there. You got some pretty, veteran guys in there messing stuff up. So, most 90s.
Oh, I got this one. Most 90s is definitely the little girl with the AOL cap.
There you go.
Oh yeah.
Todd's cummerbund and Razor's outfit.
Todd's cummerbund. It wasn't part of the match, but Sonny sitting on Bill Clinton guy's lap.
Yes. Oh yeah, Clinton jokes.
Clinton and Newt Gingrich.
Yeah.
They're so edgy. Anyone else have a nominee? I'm good with the AOL hat.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I guess 95 must be past the time of mullets. Or maybe we just didn't have a good job, guys, on.
Yeah.
What about an MVP for this match?
Yeah. Let's go. Greeny, why don't you start since you brought it up there?
I'll go with Davey.
Okay. What's your rationale there?
He had a lot of ring time. He gelled really good with everybody that he worked with.
Okay.
And I mean, out of it, he got the number one contender.
All right, Chad?
Mr. Fuji's flag.
He's getting some serious work rate.
I don't know. I guess.
Kind of a weird match.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think anybody was really bad except for probably Sid. And Yoko was not exactly mobile, but he still had good punches. I will go with, I guess, Sean. I think Sean was pretty pretty good. A little melodramatic at points, but hey, that's Shawn Michaels in 95 and 96 as the babyface star.
All right, Jordan?
I'll go outside the box, and I'll give it to Cornette, just because I think he did maybe the best job of kind of selling what we were supposed to get out of the match, as he was celebrating and also frantic at the same time, and because he had guys on both sides. I thought he did a really good job there, so I'll just give it to him, because I don't think any of the individual wrestlers stood out that much more than the others.
And it wasn't a bad match. It just, yeah.
No. Yeah.
There was no star, no big stars there. Glenn, how about you?
Yokozuna, taking his time, stalking his prey.
Les, you're going to make me break this 1-1-1-1 tie.
You could keep it a tie and just add another person into the mix.
I'm going to go with Ahmed Johnson, because he didn't really screw much up. He looked good. He was glistening. Kept my attention. We completely forgot about Dean Douglas even being a part of the match. Yep. I can't go. I love Bulldog. I can't go with him for just screwing up that finish so badly. I like your Cornette pick, Jordan. That's a good pick. So I will go Cornette.
Woohoo!
All right, and so I think that's all we got there for our normal picks there. Mm-hmm. So that's gonna do it. We will be back in 1 month with, maybe we'll go back to Raw. Maybe we'll go back to Nitro. I don't think we're going to go to Saturday Night's Main Event. I just can't see that happening. I kind of miss the jobber matches. I don't know about you guys. I like seeing Steiners or the Head Shrinkers rough some people up.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun to watch.
All right, but it was a cool experiment, part of our Place to Be Nation Survivor Series coverage, which I'm sure there will be plenty of. No, there will be a rewind coming up very soon, a main event preview of the show with a yet to be determined panel of just misfits, most likely, and a reaction show coming up right after the show with an even bigger bunch of misfits, to be frank.
The actual misfits. The band.
G.I. Bro and Johnny Sorrow. So for Joran, Jason, Chad, Glenn, this is Steve. Thanks very much for listening. Thanks for watching if you tagged along, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
So long.